στο όνομα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος. Αμήν. Δόξα ο Θεός, ελπίσιμον δόξα, βασιλεύ ουράνιο παράκλητο πνεύμα της αληθείας, πανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρώνει θησαυρός των αγαθών και ζωής χορηγός, έλθε και σκήνουσιν ημίν και καθάρισον ημάς από πάσης κυλίδος και σώσον αγαθέτες ψυχάς ημών. If we have any questions, we can start from the questions and then, thank you, and then we can have a look at the book.
With our spiritual father, to what extent are there responses or the conversation guided by the Holy Spirit, and to what extent does their human nature come into it? Like, because I've heard you say as well that they're people at the end of the day, but they're also guided by the Holy Spirit. So where, to what extent does that happen?
Okay. The sacrament of... Can you hear me? The sacrament of confession is called sacrament for a reason, because we say what we say and then we get forgiveness. But the guidance of the spiritual father is a different story, which sometimes can happen at the same time as the sacrament of confession. But we know that there were people in the history of the church, like Saint Paisios, who was not a confessor, like Nan Gavrilia, who was not a confessor. And these people, holy people, they were in Greece, they were in Egypt, they were in Russia, everywhere, holy people that someone could go to them and ask for advice. And the question could be then for them, if you ask a holy person for advice, how much the Holy Spirit works through them. It's not just if the Holy Spirit works through them, it's also how openly we ask and how is our own heart positioned in front of God. Because if your heart is open in front of God, you will find your answers even if there is no one else around you to ask. We know in the Old Testament that there was a prophet. He wasn't a donkey, and he was trying to do something which was against what God told him to do. He knew he was doing something against God's will, and the donkey spoke to him with human voice and told him, that's not right. I'm not saying that you will find a donkey talking to you, but what I'm saying is that from the gospel readings, from every single thing that happens around you, you can get your answers. Believe it or not, if we leave ourselves in God's hands, we can get answers from sources that we wouldn't even imagine. Like, you can see how loving and how humble a dog can be. A dog. The dog doesn't even have logic. But if you feed him and if he gets attached to you, then even if you push it away, it will come back licking you. If it had logic, it wouldn't. But this is an example. This is to tell us that maybe less logic makes us more loving. So everything can talk to you. It doesn't have to be an elder. It doesn't have to be during the sacrament of confession. But to the extent that you're open, your heart is open in front of God, it will be filled with answers. That's why somewhere in the gospel it says, and we keep repeating this, the one who loves me, God says, Jesus says, the one who loves me will find out, o agapon me gnosete, the one who loves me will find out. Why? Because it doesn't matter how. Your heart will tell you that this is the right thing to do. Your conscience will tell you this is the right thing to do. You will find your way. You will find your path. It's just that you have to have an open heart. And if you do have an open heart, and even if you are weak, you can still pray and find the strength to move on. That's why Gerdas Emilianos used to say that everyone can become a martyr, even the cowards, as far as they have ecclesiastiko phronima, which means How do we say phronema in English? Is there a word, or is it the same word, or how do we say phronema? Anyone? I'm not sure. But what it means is that someone who thinks about others, about the church, like the way that Christ would think. Even if we are cowards, we can still become martyrs, which means we can still become saints, which means we can still find the courage to do things that ourselves we wouldn't be able to. It's just that our heart has to be open. And if our heart is open, you will get your answers. And if your spiritual father, who is me at the moment, is not very clever, still you will get your answers. You will still get your answers. So don't worry if I don't. You will get them one way or another. Yeah. As far as your heart is open, God will talk to you. For example, myself, I never ever heard in my life about Yero de Miliano. And then things happened in such a way that I met him as soon as I finished high school. And things happened in such a way again that I was allowed to quit physiotherapy. Otherwise, I would have never had the chance to spend this time with him because straight after he got sick. So I never thought of becoming a monk. I never thought of becoming a priest. I never thought of becoming a bishop, way worse. But it all happened. And this was not because it was planned. It was because it looks like God wanted to lead me in a certain path. And I happened to have my eyes and my ears open, and I accepted. I accepted the calling. I accepted the invitation. But this is what it is with all of us. There is an invitation. There is a calling for a spiritual life. And of course, sometimes we have difficulties in our life, and they can put us out of the right track. But if our hearts are honest in front of God, we will find our way back and we will find the right path for ourselves. So don't worry. As far as you love God, don't worry. But from a spiritual father's perspective, if the spiritual father goes for confession and he is preoccupied, like it's like you have a cooking book with recipes and you cook the same things the same time every time. So if someone tells you, I want to do this, you will tell him this all the time. It doesn't work like that. If you have such a spiritual father, you might as well look for somewhere else. Because this means that the sacrament is sacrament, your sins are forgiven, but what the Holy Spirit doesn't speak, his brain speaks. And this is a problem. This is a problem. So you need to find someone who also has his heart open towards God, and he will tell you what God allows him to understand is beneficial for you personally. I won't say the same to you and the same to any one of your mates. You're totally different people. I won't. So whatever I tell you is specifically for you, and it's what feels right, and it's what it is for you. Now, you have to tell me what you think about it, and then we can discuss it, but I wouldn't give the same advice to two different people because everyone is different. We're not like sardines in the same tin. We're different. There was a talk last night with the uni, and there was an interesting, if you find it at St. Catherine's Facebook, or listen, there were three talks actually at the same time. The Archbishop spoke, and then Dr. Kariatlis, and then Father Gerasimos. But Dr. Kariatlis said something based on the Archbishop's latest book, who is now translated in English, on the process of being corrected, the translation, to be published. He said that ethical, it's not what we think follow some rules. Ethical is what makes me myself. And it includes freedom. If I'm not myself, that's for me, it's unethical. So God asks from you specific things. He will not ask the same things from your mom or from your sister, from your brother, from anyone else. So if you betray this calling, which is a personal calling, your personal path towards Christ, this is unethical. And it has nothing to do with sins. It has to do with the way that you position yourself in front of God. But the ethical thing is to find yourself in front of God, use what God is giving you, accept the salvation that He has for you, which is very specific in very specific ways, and it has to have happiness, and it has to have joy, and it has to have freedom. Otherwise, the whole thing is unethical. Do I make any sense? Yeah. Did I answer your question? All right. Anything else?
Does that mean unethical correlates to ignorance? Because when you mentioned ignorance before, it's not really following God's will or trying to find it in your life. And that's unethical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Has to apply to a community rather than an individual, surely. I mean, if some woman feels that she has the right to an abortion, it can't be ethical for her because that's her will. It has to be a more of a community cultural view.
There are lots of ways to see things. I will just mention two more things from yesterday's talk because they were very impressive. The one is that everyone is individually different, and this is how it should be. We can't all be the same. In the Holy Trinity, there's one Father, one Son, and one Holy Spirit. Totally different, but at the same time, extremely, like, ultimately united. So we are not different from the others, but we are different for the others. I don't know if this makes sense. All right, think about it. So when you find your wife, you're different from your wife, but you're different for your wife, and you two become one with Christ, and this is like the Holy Trinity. But if you're different from your wife, this creates a distance. But if you're different for your wife, to complete your wife, this makes you one. This brings unity. You still have to think about it.
I have to think about when you say different for. That's a concept.
And what the Archbishop said yesterday was that it's ethical is what we do for the others. Because everything that we do and we focus on ourselves, even if it's nothing sinful, it's pointless. And if you were to give a clarification of the word amartia, which means astochia, it means to miss the point. So whatever is pointless, in a way, it's a waste, so it's a sin. In the greater meaning. So what's not sinful, what's not unethical, is to do everything for the others.
That's true. I guess it's one point of ethics.
So if you have an abortion,
yes,
you kill someone, you don't do it for this person. You destroy this person. You do it for yourself.
Yes.
When you could raise the child and give it away for adoption if you can't afford to help it survive.
And I see what you're saying, but it's a bit complex, isn't it? When you define when life begins and when you kill that baby. Some religions, as soon as conception happens, others, when the heart beats, others, when the baby breathes.
Kala, we follow our Orthodox faith, we don't worry about what everybody believes. But if our actions, they don't have the other person as priority, they are unethical.
Also sinful.
Yes. So they miss the point. They miss the goal of life. They miss the point.
I was reading this week in Mark, in one of the Bible chapters, about when Jesus came to the Canaanite woman. And for me, Jesus is ever loving and would not embarrass or humiliate anyone. And yet there are certain parts in the Bible that Jesus comes across very harsh, almost embarrassing to the person. I'm sure whether it's a cultural thing or whatever, but as I read it, it comes across as a different person to what I know. And to the Canaanite woman who wasn't Jewish, he said, well, it's not good to throw bread to the dogs. I mean, when I read that, it's embarrassing. Or to his mother, woman, my time's not here. And, you know, to love his mother. So I don't quite understand whether it's in the translation or why it's written that way that makes me look at Jesus in a different light. Can you explain that?
Have you ever heard the expression, what's up, dog? Is this a bad way of calling someone? This means that he is your best mate.
It depends who you say it to.
Exactly. You won't say it to the Archbishop, what's up, dog, but what I'm trying to say is that we see the words the way we want to see them. And we give to the words the meaning we want to give. I can call someone a dog, meaning that he's always next to me. And he's always faithful. And he's always there. And I can call someone a dog, like, disrespectfully. So it depends how you interpret things. The words by themselves, they're not rude. The people are rude.